folks. So again, let's go to this video. This is a Romanian man warning Americans about what exactly has come to our shores. Zoran Mamdani, obviously a communist. Now, the real frustrating thing about this is that we have laws on the books specifically about immigration and communism. And that if you are an immigrant, when you take oath and just part of the naturalization process, you're not allowed to even associate with communists. You're not allowed to join any communist causes. Like, you're not allowed to do that. And you make a vow, along with a bunch of other stuff, like surrendering all, you know, allegiances to any foreign place, that obviously Zoran Mamdani has violated. So why has he not been denaturalized and deported? Because the people that run our country are in on it, or cowards, or both. Let's go to this Romanian man telling us what we all know is coming next. Let's watch.
We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism.
Famous words spoken by every communist in history. Hi, my name is Bogdan, and this is exactly how communism came to power in my country, Romania, via collectivism. First, they confiscated private land. Then they used terror to enforce collectivism. The regular Romanian citizens were arrested, beat up, humiliated publicly, left to rot in prison, and some even executed. The next step for collectivism was destroying the independent farmer class. These people were a threat to the regime because they were able to stay self-sufficient and did not rely on the state. Independence was, and still is, the biggest threat to communism. They made it in such a way that owning more than others was a crime. Once all that happened, the communists started confiscating the food from farmers, leaving families to die. They also confiscated the livestock raised by people. This resulted in famine, malnutrition, and the collapse of productivity. Romania literally went from being the number one exporter of grain in Europe to chronic shortages of food. But that wasn't enough. The communists then banned free market. No free sale of crops, no private trades, no bargaining, classic socialist failure. But collectivism wasn't just economic, it was cultural as well. In Romania, they attacked the church and religious people. They replaced family authority with party authority, all with one goal in mind: replace faith and family with the state. 15 years later, the communists declared victory. 90% of all farmland in Romania was collectivized. Bottom line, Romanian collectivism was forced, violent, economically disastrous, morally corrupt, and designed to control, not help. Only for today in the United States of America to be in New York City. I swear to God, some Americans are the dumbest morons on the planet.
Well, they're not Americans. That's the key. Again, from Crimeo, I think is how you pronounce that. If you had to be born in New York City to vote in the mayoral election, then Mamdani would have lost. Mamdani won due to a coalition of transplants. Exit polls clearly illustrate that Mamdani lost among native New Yorkers. So there you go. You won seven, or yeah, if they'd been in New York for less than 5 years, he won them by 71%. It's actually like a direct correlation to how long you've been in New York to whether or not you like Mamdani. So even though 45% of the electorate was born in New York and did not support Mamdani, he still won because he had a massive amount of the votes from, you know, transplants from the Midwest that are living off their parents' money, or transplants from overseas that are bringing their ethnic ideology along with them. It's not American. It's an invasion. It is an overthrow. We'll be back on the other side. Talk a little bit more about just pure absurdity of some of our laws. And Israel. We'll get into Israel next. Stay with us, folks. Don't go anywhere. It's the War Room, Infowars.com/show. Share that link.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Second hour of The War Room is on. We're going to get into Israel here in just a second. Final story before we do. Just one of these stories that sort of makes me kind of lose hope a little bit, because there are certain things, like there are certain instances where I might disagree with the policies being pursued because I disagree with the underlying argument, but at least there's an argument there. At least it's like they pretend to have a reason to be wanting to do something, even if it's, you know, fraudulent. There are so many examples of this, right? Like I can be against I can be in favor of voter ID, and I understand that people against voter ID, some of them might sincerely think that voter ID is a way to stop black people from voting. Now, that's a lie. It's obviously a lie. They just want to cheat in the elections, but they can't say that, so they have to come up with a reason why you're racist if you don't let them. Okay, but at least there's an argument there. At least they can say, hey, you know, look at the percentage of black people that don't have government-issued IDs. You're saying all of them can't vote. Maybe that's unfair. Again, it's a stupid argument, but at least it's an argument. Then there are other instances of things like this, where there is no reason this should exist. There's no excuse for it. There's no justification for it. And the fact that it exists at all is sort of a condemnation of our entire system and means the whole thing should be burned to the ground and rebuilt. What I'm talking about is the fact that there is a policy in Minnesota where a single registered voter can vouch for up to 8 other people seeking same-day registration and vote. What? What is the excuse for this? What is the argument for this? Essentially, what they're saying is every one voter can vote 8 times. Every one voter can show up, have an ID, present themselves as a confirmed registered voter, and then go, I have 7 friends with me, they're all named Bob, and they want to vote too, and they all get to cast votes. What? What? What is the argument for that? How did this ever get implemented? Like, what are you talking about? I mean, I felt the same way about mail-in ballots, but I guess that ship has sailed, although we should be clawing it back with everything we've got. There's no justification for this. There's no reason to do this. There's no problem being solved that this fixes. What, people are showing up to old the election sites to vote with their 7 friends, and they were like, but I'm vouching for them. And it's like, sorry, that doesn't work that way. And like, we need a law. We need a law to fix this. I'm here to vouch for other people. What are you talking about? Made for fraud? There's no other reason you would have this policy. There is absolutely no reason why you should be allowing one registered voter to pledge on their word of honor that, trust me, these 7 other voters are also have never voted before. What? Under Minnesota law, the registered voter must go with the person or people they are vouching for to the polling place and sign an oath verifying their address, According to the Office of Minnesota State of, Secretary of State, a registered voter from your precinct can go with you to the polling place to sign an oath confirming your address. This is known as vouching. A registered voter can vouch for up to 8 voters, the website reads. In a state where we've just learned that the fraud committed by the Somali community is equal to the GDP of the country of Somalia. I'm sure you can trust their oaths, right? I'm sure if they cross their heart and hope to die and take the Boy Scout pledge, they definitely always tell the truth, right? Like, it's stuff like this. I'm trying to think of another good example of, like, how this feels. And I can't even think of one. Just why? Why would you have this law? Why is this policy in place? Who made this argument? Who put it in place? And now you know how it's going to go if you try to repeal this utterly asinine and completely pointless. I mean, if you're not using this for fraud, it's a pointless law. Completely pointless. But you know that getting this law passed, we don't even know how it got, but it just appeared one day. One day, somebody decided somewhere in the bureaucratic chain of command, hey, you know what? Let's just let people commit voter fraud. And that just, so it just happened. Now here we are, like, learning this is the case, however many years after it was implemented. On top of the driver's licenses for all that Tim Walz does. It's like, do you understand? It's so crazy. It is just so crazy. But that might as well, I mean, mail-in ballots really aren't any less crazy. This essentially, like, what is happening here is they're making it to where you can walk up to a voting place and say, yeah, I'm going to vote for me, but I've got 7 friends in the car that all want to vote the same as me. So here's 8 ballots. And they go, okay, sounds good. Oh, but do you promise? Yeah, I promise. Oh, okay, well then great. As long as you promised, then you get 8 votes instead of 1. And of course, Keith Ellison yesterday, we played the video talking about how Somalis are completely necessary for my entire campaign. I wouldn't be here without them. And remember, don't just vote. Get other people to vote. That's what he's talking about. You go with your 8 friends to 1 polling place that you're actually registered at. Then your 7 friends vote at whatever address you give them. Doesn't matter. They never check it. Then you all go to the next polling place where your other friend is registered. Now you get to vote again, and you can just hop from place to place, each of you voting at the place every single time under a different name, under a different address. They have no way of checking. Once you cast the vote, it gets thrown in the pile with all the other votes, indistinguishable from all the others. It is just fraud. The only reason this exists is for fraud. So it shouldn't exist, I guess is what I'm saying. Again, it's like, do I even need to explain this? I mean, there's no reason for it to exist if it's not for fraud. So that's what it's for, obviously. And of course, Trump really outdoing himself. You know, the man loves to set records. The man loves world records. He loves to be the best at stuff. He has been the best trickster we've ever seen. I mean, he really painted himself as one type of person. And then he really is not that type of person. He is really working his way up the charts, in my opinion, as maybe one of the worst presidents, because it's not about how bad he is as a president. It's how bad he is at handling the situation that we've given him. Like, you can be a bad president, but if you're a bad president after the Second World War, it doesn't really matter because we're doing fine. Because everybody's doing fine, and everybody's going to do fine, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what you do. America's on top. America runs the world. We're good. So you can be a bad president there, and it doesn't actually rank you amongst the bad presidents. But here we are in the crucible. Here we are, this final challenge that will determine the fate of not just our nation, but the world. And Trump, even being a good president, still makes him one of the worst presidents because we are in a crisis situation and he's not handling it. Okay? And again, I don't know. I mean, it's been a year of not wanting to abandon Trump, but gee, what's going on here, Trump? And at this point, I mean, we end the year with $4 billion for refugees being proposed by the Senate, the Republican Senate. Donald Trump threatening to go to war with Iran over their ballistic missile systems now. That is just their ability to defend themselves and make war in total. Russia is expanding the Ukraine war and is on the march and has just finished conquering 30-plus Ukrainian outposts in 1 month. The Smalley fraud is absolutely exploded, but nothing's being done about it except for Tim Walz being requested to come testify to Congress. And so, in a time when the sun is shining and the grass is growing and everybody's doing fine, a bad president can seem like a good president. But here we are in this life or death moment where major critical actions have to be taken, and they're not being taken. The opportunities are slipping through our fingers. The breathing room we have now is being completely and utterly wasted. So even if he's a good president, in any other time period, in the time period that we are now, he seems to be one of the worst options we could have. Then again, we could have had Kamala Harris. I guess it always could be worse. But there's something about the opportunity that he's wasting, the victory that he's squandering, that really makes him worse, in my opinion. Donald Trump yesterday: we are removing the National Guard from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Portland, despite the fact that crime has been greatly reduced by having these great patriots in these cities. And only by that fact, Portland, Los Angeles, and Chicago were gone. If it weren't for the federal government stepping in, we will come back, perhaps in a much different and stronger form, when crime begins to soar again. Only a question of time. It's hard to believe that these Democratic mayors and governors, all of whom are greatly incompetent, would want us to leave, especially considering the great progress that has been made. ? President DJT. Okay, well, maybe you should listen to some of your own speeches, sir. Maybe you should go back to 2016, listen to your own speeches, where it didn't seem like you were confused back then why these Democrat leaders are failing. It's on purpose. It's the same thing that we've been yelling at Trump about literally for the last year. It's not incompetence. It's not stupidity. It's not like they don't know that the crime rate goes down with National Guard there. It's not like they don't know their cities are being ripped apart by illegal aliens. It's on purpose. They do it by design. They're traitors. And the judges that order Trump to remove the police are also traitors. So again, if, you know, I don't know what to tell Trump. I don't know what to tell him. Luckily, other people are telling him with extreme malice. Let's go to clip number two here. This is Andy Frizzella. He's been going viral for good reason. Showed a couple of his videos yesterday. Here's his latest, talking specifically to Donald Trump.
This right now, and I mean this. Okay, Donald Trump, you've lost touch with your base. You've lost touch with reality of what people actually want to see. And the people around you are either not telling you the truth or you're in on it. And if you're not in on it, I would appreciate for you and I to have a discussion so I could inform you about what these people really want. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this can go on Twitter and, you know, you can have your people call me and I will get my happy ass on an airplane and I'll sit down and enjoy a motherfucking Big Mac with you. And we will get real clear about what people actually want, because the motherfuckers around you are either full of shit or you're in on it.
Yeah.
And that's where people believe right now. Okay. And here's the thing.
A lot of people believe that.
Yes.
Dude.
And here's the thing. Okay. I said on last show, you're going to go down as the president who had the opportunity to fix this country and chose not to. And you might say, oh, well, that doesn't really matter. Well, you know what? It's going to matter, because your kids are going to get blackballed in America. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your legacy is going to be ruined. The Trump name will be a joke. And I know you care about those things.
No.
And you should. And I truly believe that deep down, he still cares about America. Maybe I'm stupid for thinking that. He needs to understand, and I stand by what I said on the last show, everybody who voted for him, everybody who stood for him, everybody who stood by him, you guys need to put pressure on him.
Yeah.
Real talk. So, and it needs to be unrelenting pressure to do the things that he said he was going to do.
Absolutely. And instead, he's doing everything else. He's doing everything his donors want him to do. He's doing everything Israel wants him to do. Seems to be doing everything Ukraine wants him to do. Just not the American people. He tweets out like he knows what we want. And he thinks that that's sufficient. Can't tell you how many tweets I've seen recently. And it's everybody around him. And every day, multiple times a day, I see somebody from either his administration or his family or his sphere of influence say something. And then underneath it, it's people going, you are in office. What are you talking about? Whether it's J.D. Vance, Don Jr., Stephen Miller, they're all out here going, this is terrible. These people should be arrested. And somebody else going, tell your dad, Don Jr. Does he not know this? And how insulting is it? And the humiliation of it all, when in the midst of this giant scandal about Somali fraud, and we're just being ripped off endlessly, Donald Trump comes out and says, yeah, you know, we're going to have to go to war with Iran. You tell me which is the bigger A, concern to the American people, or B, bigger potential expenditure, right? Just one of these things. You want to build a wall? Oof, impossibly expensive. That'll cost $10 billion. So we don't build the wall, and we end up spending $500 billion. Yeah, your dad is president, bro. Tell him to do something. And, like, there really is no excuse, honestly, because anything that you come up with as a reason why it's going this way doesn't actually count. Like, obviously it's Israel. Susie Wiles was Netanyahu's campaign manager. I mean, it's just beyond obvious, you know, who's pulling the strings, you know, where this influence is coming from. And some people speculate, well, could it be the Epstein things? They have blackmail on him. Could it be the golden pager thing? I mean, when you have Mossad routinely giving interviews where they're like, we can blow up anybody at any time. We can kill anybody everywhere. And I mean, they're not lying, right? That's what part of the psyop of the Gaza war has been. And that's the thing you really have to understand. And I'll show you some videos that really should send a chill down your spine. But Israel has spent the last 2 years ruthlessly slaughtering thousands and thousands of children and innocent people, and nobody can stop them. They've carried out the most horrific terror attacks against innocent people the world has ever seen. The Lebanon pager attack is a terrifying thing. They had no idea who had those pagers. They had no idea whether they were actually hitting their combatants. And the pagers didn't even kill people. It was just a vicious maiming attack against everybody in Lebanon who may have happened to be near one of those pagers that might have at one point been in the possession of Hezbollah. And nobody can stop them. And nobody can even make them pay for it. Nobody can, like, they're getting away with all of it. They've spent the last 2 years in front of everybody committing the most heinous abuses the world has ever seen, bar none. Images worse than the Holocaust. Images worse than the killing fields with Pol Pot. I don't know if since Genghis Khan there's been such a reveling in the brutality that we've seen on display for 2 years. And they they haven't paid a single price for it. They've gotten completely away with it. Nobody can stop them. They've spent 2 years slaughtering innocent people and children, and nobody can stop them. So that's the mindset we're dealing with. That's the position from which they are approaching things. But when you think about all of these things, you realize these are not good reasons. Because Donald Trump can speak to the American people with no filter. Donald Trump can call a press conference, be going live, and say exactly what's happening. And if it's blackmail and he thinks he's preserving his reputation, that's nonsense, right? If he doesn't do what he has to do, the only reason that his reputation isn't complete trash right now is because his supporters who still believe in him. You disappoint us, or we're going to hate you more than the left hates you now. If this is because, you know, he's been threatened with some, you know, lifelong lawfare regime, and they're basically saying, hey, play along with us, serve out your time, and then we'll let you retire at ease. He'd be a fool to believe that, wouldn't he? There's no way he would fall for that. What's the guarantee? What's the guarantee that they uphold their end of the bargain? Once you're out of office, they can start abuse you again. You can say, but you promised. They don't care. So I don't think it's that. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu gives him a golden pager. Not exactly a subtle threat. But you don't think the American people would defend you from that? If you came out and said, hey guys, Israel's threatened to kill me if I don't do what they say. And this feels weird because this is kind of exactly the speech I gave to Charlie Kirk a month before he died. The same thing was happening with him. I told, tried to tell Charlie Kirk the same thing that I'm telling Trump now. You're in charge, dude. You can't play games with these people. You can't try to appease these people. You can't play along with them thinking that you can get through it. The only thing to do now is go absolutely public with all of it. Tell the American people what's going on. And then solve the problem. But if you try to take us to war with Iran, it's not going to go well for you. So that's what I mean when you say, like, well, all of these excuses they have, well, maybe they're blackmailing it. Maybe he's using the Epstein to blackmail them. Maybe, nah, nah, nah. And it's like, it does, none of these things count or matter. Because if somebody's threatening you and you get on national TV and say, that guy's threatening me, guess what? That guy can't do anything to you anymore. Suddenly that guy is incentivized to do everything he can to protect you, because if anything happens to you, he's going to be blamed. So he's got to be in on it, right? He's got to just be in on it. Blackmail doesn't make sense. I don't believe he's so disconnected that Don Jr. can't express to him what the American people are feeling. And just like I told Charlie Kirk when he was having trouble with Israel, telling Donald Trump right now, just come out and say it, dude. You are the golem. It's time to arise. Okay? They made you, but they can't defeat you if you attack them.
The problem is, this is when the globals can knock the power up and blame the Russians or whoever. They've already pre-programmed that. This is when they could set off attack nuke, try to shoot down Air Force One with surface-to-air missiles, blame Iran. This is the globalist color revolution that they've done hundreds of times around the world. Hundreds since 1947. Operation Ajax, Operation Gladio. The list goes on and on. I just keep saying, danger, danger, mortal danger to the country. Mortal danger to your future. I mean, I can physically feel the anxiety and electricity shooting up and down my body, and the palpable, not fear, because that's not the feeling I feel, the feeling of ready to fight. And I'm fighting in the information war. I have electricity feeling in my teeth right now. I have to make myself not bare my teeth and bug my eyes out right now as I address you, because that's what I feel like. People understand it's informational. So that's where I am right now. But I just showed you who I am. That's what I feel like every second right now. That's the urgency. Fauci and Gates and Schumer and Newsom want to destroy our future. You want us to live in bondage. You want to cut our children's penises off. You Satanist. I'm just telling you, I've never felt so much urgency. My spider sense has never even close to this much on fire. Ugh. My cells tell me I'm in a war. And to gird myself for it. And to guard myself for truth. Because we are up against the scum of the earth that will give us no quarter. This is an endless war, a fight between good and evil. And in this cycle, good is rising, and good is winning, and evil can feel it in its bones. And it is rising to the challenge.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Now, back to our program.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm trying to lay out for you here in this segment a very nebulous and difficult to define reality that right now there's being constructed a worldwide censorship grid. But it's not just censorship, it extends beyond that. A grid of legal protection designed specifically for Jews and for Israel and for nobody else. And it's the type of thing that's so ubiquitous and widespread, it's hard for me to explain it because it manifests in so many different ways. So before we get into that, I do want to remind you that we have survived censorship. We have survived the attempts to shut us down, the lawfare, many of the strategies that I'll lay out for you here. We've already been subjected to and survived thanks to your support at thealexjonesstore.com. So I do ask you to go to thealexjonessupport.com and guarantee that this censorship-proof system that we've built continues operation. Because at the end of the day, they can't stop you from buying a product that you want. At the end of the day, our system still depends on capitalism to some degree to function. And while all of our other rights are being stripped away, capitalism still reserves a certain sacredness amongst the minds and the laws of our country. And so if we have a product that's legal and you have money that's legal, then we can exchange that. And there's nothing a lot anybody else can do to stop us, right? So we took that advantage, that reality, that like, okay, for our system to function, people who want to sell products and people who want to buy products have to be able to do that. You can't limit it. You can't, you know, get too much in the way, despite their attempts with regulation. They have to let you buy from us. They just have to. We realize that. We use that. And now, no matter how much they try to crush us, we can and will survive because you support us, because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. So do not underestimate how important your support truly is, not just for us, but for what we represent, this fight for freedom, in particular, freedom of speech. And they've gotten to a point in the construction of this control grid that they're announcing it and making it public and preparing the arguments to justify what they intend to do. This isn't about convincing you. This is about they're doing it, and they need morons in America to imbue and imbibe the arguments that justify it so we don't get too mad. That's what's happening here. Again, this isn't a guy saying, here's what I think might happen in the future. He's saying this is what is going to happen. And he's not saying, I want you to agree with me and come along with me. He's saying this is what's happening, and here's how you argue in favor of it. So this guy's video has gone viral, and I'll show you not just the clip that's gone viral, but then the expanded longer version. We can get into it. But first, here's the clip, 16. Israeli cybersecurity billionaire Shlomo Kramer says it's time to limit the First Amendment. Let's watch.
I know it's difficult to hear, but it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it. And quickly, before it's too late.
What do you mean?
I mean that we need to control the platforms, all the social platforms. We need to stack rank the authenticity of every person that expresses themselves online and take control over what they are saying based on that ranking.
The government.
The government should
control the social media.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, this is a foreigner who frankly has no right to say anything about America. But I think we need to take what he's saying seriously, and we need to not just write it off and say, well, this is America and this is the First Amendment, come and take it kind of thing. No, we need to treat it seriously and maybe take what he says into account. Because to be honest with you, that guy and what he said, I'd be fine if it was illegal. I'd be fine if we had a law that said anybody from Israel named Shlomo that wants to talk about American politics is going to be expelled from the country immediately and never allowed back. You know, maybe the First Amendment is a little bit too expansive. I mean, after all, the First Amendment is the amendment that enunciates our freedom of religion. So, I mean, if you want to get rid of the First Amendment, let's get rid of all of it, right? I mean, he's talking about limiting it. Why limit? Why should there be freedom of religion in this country? Because, see, it's two sides of the same coin. It's these corresponding rights that are indelibly tied to one another. See, you have the right to be Jewish in this Christian country, and we have the right to talk crap about you and your religion and your country. And it's the same right that guarantees both of these things. So if you want to get rid of the First Amendment, I'd say be careful what you wish for. Maybe we'll just outlaw Judaism. Oh, if the First Amendment's we have to preserve the First Amendment after all. And obviously the biggest threat to the First Amendment, like maybe he's right. You know, the more I think about it, maybe we have to limit the First Amendment to save the First Amendment. Maybe the First Amendment is under existential threat from scumbags like Shlomo here, and maybe they don't deserve the right to speak in our country. I mean, maybe this argument could go both ways. Or maybe the American people need to understand the value of our First Amendment. Maybe first among the populations in America to appreciate the First Amendment should probably be the Jewish people. Maybe we should all understand that this Shlomo character with his foreign accent is your enemy if you're an American. Regardless of your race, color, or your creed, he is against you. He's against your rights. He's against your freedoms. And the problem is he has billions of dollars, a kingpin position in cybersecurity, and the backing of Israel's Unit 8200 to make his case. Now, if you don't know about Unit 8200, he was a member of it, Shlomo Kramer, as you can find on his Wikipedia. Kramer served in the Israeli Defense Forces Unit 8200, a cybersecurity and intelligence team whose operations include gathering, analyzing, and decrypting data. Over the years, the unit has produced many of Israel's top high-tech entrepreneurs. After completing military service, Kramer earned a master's degree in computer science at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and a bachelor's degree in mathematics and computer science from Tel Aviv University. And he's known as the godfather of Israeli cybersecurity. And this is where, like, what he laid out there, actually, I was going to go to the longer clip. I think I have everything I need in that little clip. Although, we'll go to the longer one, just see what else he says. But he sort of lays it all out there, right? He says we need to limit the First Amendment. We need to control social media platforms. And we need to guarantee the authenticity of everybody on the internet. So, when you talk about the Israeli control grid, it's composed of a couple component parts and a couple key aspects that are being adopted by governments worldwide. Sort of the keystone of all of this, the keystone of the arch, is the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism that has now been adopted by every branch of our federal government, has been written into law in England and New Zealand and Australia and just about everywhere that doesn't have First Amendment protections, including Canada. And what the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, that's the International Holocaust Remembrance Association, what it says is that any criticism of Israel shouldn't be allowed because that's anti-Semitic. Any criticism of Jews, Jewish groups, Jewish people, crimes they commit, real or imagined, it's all anti-Semitic. So in a word, it's the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism is the black magic by which they transmute criticism of an individual into criticism of a group, so it's therefore illegal. So you can't criticize George Soros. Why? Because he's Jewish, and what he does comports with Jewish stereotypes. Remember, hate speech is when reality matches the stereotype. Okay? No one's going to get mad at you for, you know, saying the black people are all doctors and dentists or whatever, but you would if they were Jews. See, because one is a stereotype, and if reality comports to it, then you're bad. So you've got the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism being employed by countries and governments and corporations as well, because you'll get, you know, They'll send an attaché, they'll send an ADL representative or whatever to Facebook and say, hey, we just want you to adopt this definition of anti-Semitism. You're not anti-Semitic, are you? Okay, well, these are the you know, Council of Jews, and they say that this is the definition of anti-Semitism. Will you adopt it? Oh, you will? Great. Now we have a list of videos for you to delete. And then they'll get them to delete them. So whether it's corporations or government, they're adopting this definition, and that's doing a lot of, you know, heavy lifting. Because on top of that, it goes beyond just sort of like negative freedoms, right? It goes beyond just saying you can't say this and you can't say this. It's also about like telling the story the way they want it told. It has all the elements of a cult, as we've explained. Like they call it anti-Semitism and they call it Holocaust denial. Even if you say, I agree with the number, I agree with the amount, I agree with all of this, but you say, but I don't think they actually wanted to kill all the Jews in the world. I don't think that was their goal. I think they wanted to expel the Jews. I think they wanted to kill the Jews that fought against them. I think they killed a lot of Jews on purpose, but I don't think it was their goal to genocide the entire Jewish race to a person. Well, have fun in jail. Like if you were in Austria, you'd go to jail for that. If you're in Australia, you go to jail for saying what I just said. Why? Because you have to positively announce. You have to actually make the statement. You have to affirm. Thank you, crew. You have to positively affirm that the Nazis wanted to kill all of the Jews, and that's what led to the Holocaust and the gas chambers, and that's all absolutely true. No doubt about it. And you have to insist, not just in the method and the outcome, but the purpose of it all, right? It's a cult. It's a religious compulsion. Okay, but you have, so that's sort of the groundwork that you're laying there, is this compulsory language, compulsory mindset that they're forcing everybody to have. Then you've got social media, you've got news media, you've got entertainment, right? All of the vectors of information have to be controlled at choke points. Either you have to have somebody who is in a position of a censor in your social media companies, or you have to have your algorithms dictate what is allowable or not. But you can put people in positions or create processes by which, you know, one or two people can censor everybody. You don't have to do it piecemeal. Then they want to go after you for talking about this stuff. They want to arrest you for anti-Semitism like they're doing in Australia. And so they need to know who you are. So they need to get rid of anonymity on the internet. So again, this guy really lays out, well, so we have that guy, Kramer, saying, you know, we need to get control of the social media companies, which they already do have to a very, very large degree. And of course, they're making this statement on CNBC. Okay, they already have the news media, they already have the entertainment. They're working on really solidifying the grasp of social media companies. And again, it's like, it's almost too much information, like, because even just talk about this, I've talked about the TikTok sale and the way that went, and the 600,000 Chinese, foreign students that we're allowing over here, because that was all part of the agreement, and the way Larry Ellison and his son are doing this, and the way his son is tied into digital ID in the UK and digital ID in Australia, both of which are, of course, complying with this. And then you can talk about Larry Ellison himself on stage with Tony Blair, who is slated to be in charge of the Gaza reconstruction as far as the international community. And Tony Blair's son actually is the one that running the digital ID. And of course, Larry Ellison is communicating with Ehud Barak and Jeffrey Epstein about connecting Rubio and Tony Blair, because they're, you know, both very viable puppets before they really, you know, took off politically. And that's why they took off politically. And Larry Ellison's on stage with Tony Blair saying, well, for AI to really be an effective control system, you have to have all the information in a unified place. And that's why you have organizations like Palantir, who just recently had like $10 billion worth of all these various contracts all consolidated into one Palantir contract, since they'll be the operating system on which this surveillance / censorship grid is built. And it really goes on and on. I can show you like a million different reasons. I mean, TikTok hate speech manager is former IDF soldier from the same unit 8200. So we basically just have Israeli cyber security spies, like literal dyed in the wool, trained. They took an oath, like unit 8200 operatives as billionaires controlling our cybersecurity, in charge of TikTok censorship, in charge of Facebook censorship. Obviously, I've talked endlessly about the fact that when Donald Trump was kicked off of Facebook in 2021, it was done so at the behest of the oversight board that Facebook had. Who was in charge of the oversight board? The former justice minister from the state of Israel. Okay, so they've already, you know, been in control of this stuff for a long time. TikTok hate speech manager, a former IDF soldier. And so what happens as soon as TikTok is, you know, forced to hand over control to this Zionist operative, who, you know, herself makes videos about how she was trained by all these, you know, Jewish groups and knows what her role is and is going into TikTok specifically as a operative for her ethnic group and will serve their interests exclusively. Like, you don't have to speculate. I don't have to, like, say, oh, she's Jewish, that's why it's bad. It's not bad because she's Jewish. It's bad because she's a foreign operative, a spy, an interloper who is censoring people for the benefit of her ethnicity, regardless of what the truth is. Because as soon as that happens, what goes on? TikTok's new ownership is labeling a post merely describing Epstein reporting based solely on publicly available documents as misinformation. See how that works? This was a video called "Epstein's Work with Israel is Not a Secret. We Have the Evidence. Here's the Latest." and that had its visibility restricted because in a global community, it's natural for people to have different opinions, but we seek to operate on it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They censor true information that makes them look bad. Let me say that again. They're censoring true information because it makes them look bad. That's what happens when people like this get in charge of social media companies. It's not about the truth. It's not about protecting anybody except for themselves from the consequences of their own actions. He wasn't out here saying all Jewish people are guilty because Jeffrey Epstein. Doesn't matter. The IHRA definition says that what you're doing is accusing Jeffrey Epstein of a Jewish stereotype, being involved in an international blackmail ring based on pedophilia. Sounds Jewish to me. Can't say that. Can't say that. Sorry, the IDF Unit 8200 operative in charge of what's true or not says that's not true. Okay. Tikva Fund, after securing $10.4 million grant from Trump administration, pushes censorship to advance Zionism. The Jewish American Neoconservative Tikva Fund, which the Trump administration awarded over $10 million in September to counter the pathology of anti-Semitism and teach the Talmud, has already gotten to work pushing censorship to advance Zionism. New York Times last month told a remarkable story of how a record $10.4 million grant to the Tikva Fund secured from the National Endowment for the Humanities was rammed through. And then, of course, that gets, they would never do this for Christianity, obviously, right? And that's where, you know, it's very useful for this religion to also be an ethnicity, to be a race, but it's not really a race, but it's a religion, but you don't have to believe in the religion to be a part of it. And this goes back and forth, and you can debate about it forever. The end result is a 50-foot tall menorah on the White House lawn when the nativity scene is banned. Because, you know, there's a law against religious celebrations on certain government property. But when you say this is just a celebration of culture, not religion, then suddenly you can celebrate it. Happens over and over. So we're paying for that, too. And that's just like all of this is just the tip of the iceberg. Netanyahu says Israel expects global crackdown on anti-Semitism in wake of Bondi Beach shooting. Netanyahu rushed to blame the Australian Prime Minister for the Bondi Beach shooting, citing his support for a Palestinian state, saying your governor did nothing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism. You let the disease spread, and the result is this horrific attack on Jews we saw today. And so, of course, the result of that has been Australia ruthlessly cracking down on white people in Australia, while the people that actually carried out the attack are being given protection, and explicitly Jewish groups in Australia are not only not having their guns taken, they're having laws written to specifically and exclusively provide weapons for the Jewish groups and nobody else. So while white Australians are having their freedom of speech destroyed because of this terrorist attack and having their weapons confiscated because of this terror attack, Jewish groups in Australia are being given extra allowances to allow them to arm themselves, to allow them to have guns at their location. Same thing happens in the UK. Same thing happens in New York City. You can't have guns, but every synagogue has armed guards surrounding it. Trump's Israel-born pick for U.S. anti-Semitism czar plans to work with social media to suppress hatred or, you know, the truth, whatever, tomato, tomato. Zionist top power, influence, and victimhood at Mira Madison's Israel Chaim Summit in New York. And really, it just goes on and on. But what you have to understand is it's about seizing the methods of communication by hijacking bottleneck positions like safety, you know, advisor, whatever it is, whatever position you can get yourself in to then therefore have veto power over other people's free speech, that's what they're capturing. And it's being done through digital ID. It's being done through massive surveillance. It's being done through digital security and cybersecurity through things like the digital dome or the cyber dome that Israel is apparently now managing the cybersecurity for both Germany and America. So it's about cybersecurity. It's about digital ID. It's about censoring social media and correspondingly have that digital ID to identify who is saying what on social media in order to put them in prison because at the same time they're passing laws and limiting the First Amendment here in America and passing the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism everywhere else and throwing people in jail for saying the truth or censoring them for reporting on news stories that are validated. And this is all happening at once, and it's happening worldwide in a unified strategy, unified method. And it's not just okay, it's necessary to oppose it. And honestly, the people that need to oppose this most are the Jewish people for their own good, honestly. Because, and you know, part of me is like, do we need to be more anti-Semitic? Like, do we need to start being collectivist? Because I don't have a problem seeing George Soros do something bad, and I don't blame all Jews for it. I see Netanyahu do something bad. Doesn't affect how I feel about the friends I grew up with, right? That's never been an issue. But now we've got these people like old Shlomo Kramer over here making these claims. And like, what we need is all the other Jewish people in the world to go, no, 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 man. No, we're not with him. We are not with him. We disavow him. Maybe it needs to be like, whoa, wait, if one Jew does something, we all get blamed for it. So maybe we need to control some of this, because clearly they're on the march. Like, clearly there are Jewish influence groups, there are Israeli groups, there are billionaires instituting tyrannical measures in your name. So like, it is kind of on you to reject this. It is kind of on the Jews to actually take their historical position of champions of the First Amendment because of the value of having a society where you can speak and worship freely. So if you think abandoning that because of Israel's behavior of the last 2 years is a wise thing to do, I would advise against that. And just know that the Jewish elite are using you, very simply. The Israeli elite are using the Israelis. And they're using the Palestinians. And they're using the Nazis, because they require anti-Semitism, because without actual genuine violent hate, they can't pass any of this stuff. That's why we always try to keep our criticism specifically to the people doing these things. And when they are doing it on the name of Judaism, in the name of a religion, we have to call that out. And really, the burden is on the people of that religion to stand up against this. Because they're the ones that are going to suffer if these people get what they want, even though they say it's for you.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.